You have pipes around here. You have holes. There are definitely a few holes around here. It's not all even evenly forward. There is a lot of desert equipment out there. So there's a massive vertical hole coming in from a place that you do not know.
What? I put his eyes.
It just went under the sword.
No way!
For the last year, Jukebox has been researching Wellington's forgotten underground tunnels. We've been speaking to the college archivist, Caroline Jones, who you'll hear from shortly about the backstory of the tunnel's origins and other facts relating to them. Before we met with her, we came together to speculate about some myths and theories we had about the tunnel.
Okay, what are some things that you guys think happened in the tunnels when they were like at their most active?
Smuggling.
What?
Smuggling.
Pretend that was never said. Well, I think we have some records showing that there were hockey games being played in the tunnels, and well, I don't know. I don't really know what they used. They might have used like bricks as their pucks, for example, or they assembled them together. I'm not fully sure, but I mean, yeah. I don't even know how that would fully work out, but I'm sure it was fun.
If there were tunnels nowadays, people would definitely get up to things. Like, I would, I feel like nobody would use, like, to get to lessons, no one would be seen, like, over ground. Everybody would just go in, like, a tunnel.
Yeah, of course.
Just because, even if it was less efficient, I want to go
it's
in.
It's just
like,
so cool.
Exactly. I mean, there must have been, like...
So like, every house has an entrance to the tunnel.
Exactly. And then you can either choose to... I mean, what's the point, then, of going over ground, really? So I guess that wouldn't really work, but like...
It'd be cold though, if you think about it.
Yeah, it'd be cold. What, like temperature?
Factor, yeah.
Well, yeah, well,
not like cold isn't cool. Like it'd be cold.
What do you think the tunnels were like, kind of? Like how would they look like, the ambience, etc.?
Probably quite simplistic.
Well, it depends. Nowadays, they'd probably be quite well lit, but I'm guessing just kind of like thinking about it, it'd probably just be all like, poorly. I mean, I can't imagine they would have taken care of said tunnels very well, right? They would have been all kind of like messed up.
I think they would have been probably built quite quickly because they were like under maybe built for like the war or something. Oh. They obviously wouldn't like have planned it for ages and like structured the ground and everything. So it'd be like a quick build.
Yeah, I wonder what it was built out of. Is it built out of like the same orangey reddish brick or as we see throughout the entire campus, or was it just like is it just like a gray tunnel?
I'm assuming it's just a gray tunnel. Literally just a gray tunnel with concrete around the edges.
But I mean, I wonder how big they were.
I wonder how they built them.
It couldn't be that hard to build, but I was just thinking like if they played hockey matches, it can't have been like when you say tunnel, I kind of think of a like a small passageway, but if you think about it, you can't really play.
I mean, it's a bit
you can't
parking,
play a hockey
like a
game
tiny
in,
pipe,
in a small corridor. So they must have had some kind of like.
So it's decently big.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It might be the size of this room.
It's probably about the same width as this room, I reckon.
It's probably like.
We'll either be shocked or like.
Might be just like five really arm lengths, approximately. Five adult arm lengths. Maybe a bit more.
Maybe something like that, I guess, yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, whatever it was.
They're probably like. It's probably like a main tunnel. And then there's like multiple branches off, and the branches are probably smaller.
I wonder how many dead ends there are, though, or I wonder if everything's just connected.
Everything will be connected to an entrance.
Yeah, I mean, everything, we know that they were connected to different houses for sure, like the Blücher and Anglesey, perhaps.
The Anglesey's quite far out.
True. You know what I think the most interesting thing is? Imagine if there was tunnels that have been sealed off now that hasn't really been taken like much record for. If that makes sense. Like, what if there aren't records of the tunnels that have been blocked off? And so we can be shown around different parts of the tunnels, but actually there are, I don't know, so many more different things to like uncover. Like what if they had like this whole, I mean, how cool would that be if there was like an underground?
Oh, the students made their own tunnels.
Well, I mean, that's kind of unrealistic.
I think that wouldn't be, like, that'd be pretty difficult.
The fact they exist in the first place is what's quite cool.
Yeah. As you said, there's probably like only... like half of the tunnels you can actually go in?
Yeah, of course. I mean, exactly. I mean, there's not going to be any... There's like, what, ones outside the Picton that are accessible?
Yeah.
And I know where outside, else have you seen them?
In the, you know the like gate in the garden in the Murray?
Oh, yeah.
At the back.
Oh, is that an entrance?
I think that's the route down to the tunnels.
I doubt it. I feel like that's just like a...
That no, because
like
that's a cellar, but it definitely has tunnels there.
I thought it would have been just a cellar. But if there is tunnels, if there's an actual connection into tunnels...
I would not really want to go down there, though.
It does look a little sketchy.
It looks sketchy.
But also, from all the other entrances, they only look like about... Like, it can fit like a single file line. So
that,
if they open up...
Just literally out here is an entrance as well.
Huh?
You know, like, bit going down?
No.
Literally just outside this door.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that... Is that that's an actual, that's an actual entrance?
I think so.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Oh. What?
Okay. He's gone to go and look at the tunnel.
Yeah, that definitely is.
Yeah.
I reckon that's how it will go down. It looks quite small though.
Okay. So the TLDR is that we hypothesized that the hole next to the V&A, the main V&A entrance in
Selangor Court,
is actually an entrance to the tunnels.
Yeah. Well, we can only have some speculation. If we wanted to get any actual real information, we'd obviously have to talk to an archivist. Lucky for us, we've got one at the Swellington. So. Our next section will be us actually getting to know the archivist, asking main questions on it, some of our unsolved questions, and actually getting a live tour. So we'll pass it on to all of us in the future when we've met with
Caroline Jones.
Yeah.
Today we will be continuing on our mission to understand more about the college tunnels. We are joined by...
I'm Caroline Jones. I've been the college archivist for 8.5 years.
Thank you for being us with here, Mrs. Jones. We also have...
Violet.
Will.
And Arthur.
Now, so Miss Jones, could you just briefly describe what you do day to day? Is there anything interesting you're involved with, and how have the tunnels been interesting to you, and how's that kind of worked with your job?
Okay, that's a lot of questions. I look after the physical documents which tell the history of the college, dating right back to our foundation in 1853. And not far from here, there's the archive store, which is semi-underground and contains lots of books and articles and papers and artifacts and photographs which tell the story. So I'm looking after and cataloguing those, but also doing my best to help all the members of the college community, students, teachers, alumni, parents, learn about our history. Through various ways and answering lots of inquiries from people who write in.
And so presumably you often interact with people in the OW community asking about, you know, how their parents were like at Wellington or kind of
Absolutely.
What was their journey like?
Yeah, that's right. I get, you know, I think my granddad might have been at your school. Can you tell me something about him?
Yeah.
And if he was here at the right time, usually, yeah, I can tell quite a lot about him, probably find some photos of him.
So on like a daily basis, what would you be doing every day at Wellington? Kind of like, do you have a routine, or is it kind of like each day is a bit different?
It's really varied. You know, I have a list of things that I want to get done in the next couple of months. And then at the beginning of each week, I sit down and plan what I think I'm going to do that week. And it could be inquiries, it could be cataloguing, it could be talking to people. It could be working on projects like I'm helping Mrs. Charlier with some of the things that we're doing to get more representation of women and minorities around college, because I can draw on our historical knowledge of earlier people like that who we might draw attention to, all kinds of things.
Great. Now, obviously, a lot of people have a lot of interest in the whole tunnel aspect. But just before we get onto that, are there any kind of other interesting facts about the college that most people around it just wouldn't really know? Because I know there's a lot of stuff on World War II and things like that, but I was just wondering if there's any kind of major thing maybe some people are kind of missing, or, you know, things like that.
I think most of today's students would be really surprised to just to know about what daily life was like for somebody who was a student here, even as late as the 1950s, your life would have been very different. You would have had no communal space other than the corridors in your dormitories. When you were a junior boy, you would have had to do tasks and run errands for the senior boys. You would have had your own kind of special, you probably have your own special school language and slang now, but it was different then. Things like that I find really interesting, and you know, I like to be able to share that with people if I can.
And kind of like, before we go underground, on ground, has like the buildings changed at all, or like the history of the buildings?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the buildings, when the college first opened, it just consisted of the front and back quads and the buildings making up those. And then it's been gradually added to ever since. Sometimes when college wants to redevelop part of the existing buildings, for planning permission, they have to submit a report on how the building has developed and been used up till then. So I've had to do research for a couple of those, which have been really interesting.
I've only just like been told of the underground tunnels myself. So as someone who doesn't know anything about what they look like or just any idea of what they look like, could you give us like a brief description of what it is and what they were made for?
Okay, I mean, there are various tunnels. They're probably not as exciting as you think they might be. Probably the most famous one is the Picton Tunnel, which was created in about 1910, 1911. Because at that point, as you know, we had dormitories and we had a few out-of-school houses. And the Picton started off as an out-of-school house. And in those days, the students in it would have all their meals provided by the housemaster and his wife and his household. In the way that some of you still have kind of breakfast in your houses. That would have been all your meals in those days. And then when the present dining hall had just been completed by then, and they noticed that the Picton was really close to it, and thought, oh, surely we could provide the food for the Picton from the central kitchens rather than the housemaster having to do it. And that way they would get more money for the school as well. So they created a tunnel from the sort of kitchen area into the Picton. I've never been able to work out whether the boys came into the college through it or the food was taken out to them. But I think it was just kind of to make them feel that they were part of, that they were an in college dormitory, not an out college house. And that tunnel was there. Well, it still is there. It's been blocked off, so you can't go all the way through it now, but we can hopefully see it. But for years and years, the Picton boys used to go to and fro through the tunnel, and their speciality was playing hockey down there.
So, yeah, we heard on there was an article about the hockey games, but I was just wondering, in terms of size, tunnels can be from, you know, the size of this room to really, really small. So I don't know if it varied, but in the Picton Tunnel, for example, what kind of size or scale was it? Was it sort of, you know, corridor, a bit larger?
I've only been down there once. Mm-hmm. That's a fairly large corridor, I'd say, whereas directly under where we're sitting, actually, there are corridors, there are tunnels. There's a kind of access tunnel that goes all the way from one end of the building to the other, but that's smaller. That's more of a service tunnel with various utilities piped along the walls, and that's a bit more cramped.
So therefore, is it still being used today, do you reckon?
Yeah.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
We can probably see that one as well.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Well, yeah, so are there multiple tunnels that are being used for service today, or is it just that one?
I think it's just that one, right? Really.
Okay.
And then there are a few other separate kind of underground spaces which are not connected to tunnels, but things like under the science blocks, there are basements down there which were used as the air raid headquarters in the war, and so on. And of course there are air raid shelters in various parts of the grounds which students dug during the war. But those have been concreted up so we can see them, but you can't go in them anymore.
So generally, to summarize, there are kind of three main kinds of tunnels. You had service tunnels, transport tunnels, and kind of war-related bomb shelter tunnels.
Yeah, and I would say that's probably true.
And Which of them are the most common?
The longest one would be the service tunnel.
Fine.
Yeah.
And when it comes to just shifting on a bit, which out of the tunnels that the students used, were there any kinds of how did it have like an impact on student culture and life? Like were there any games played like on top of the hockey or like slang words attributed to it or anything?
I think the fact that the Picton had this tunnel, that its way of getting in and out of college, made them feel special. It was kind of a unique thing to that house. I'm told that to liven up the hockey, sometimes they would play it with a ball of newspaper that was on fire instead of a ball.
So you mentioned, like, obviously the Picton Tunnel. You're not sure whether pupils used it to go back and forth. Or if it
they was... did use okay, it to fine. Go back and forth. I'm not entirely sure about the food aspect.
Okay, fine. The other tunnels around college, was that for pupils to use as well? Or was
no.
that... Ah, okay. So it was purely just, like, services kind of...
For the people working in the boilers okay. and electrics.
So it wasn't so, like, the building wasn't so correlated to, like, the war. It was more just for, like, access, I guess.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah. There are stories, you know, they've always been out of bounds, really, but there are various stories of boys finding their way down into them and finding the common room wine cellar, which still exists, and so forth. And also in the Wellingtonian from I think the 1970s, there's a sort of fictional account of someone getting down there and getting lost and meeting somebody who's been down there for years and years.
So aside from the myths, cultural aspects and games and whatnot, how are the tunnels actually structured and designed? Do they kind of use the same brick that we see around school, like the main building, or are they more out of just like asphalt / a ceramic kind of material?
As I say, I've only been down most of them once, and that was a little while ago. My memory seems to tell me that the Picton Tunnel is tiled. Mm-hmm. Or at any rate, it's kind of light. It has light walls, either painted or tiled. Whereas, as I say, the access ones are a bit more dark and functional. Rooms under the science blocks are kind of concretey.
I have just one more question for me about the tunnels. And during the air raids, how common would it be for students to all have to pack down into shelters? Would it be kind of is it a daily basis routine? Is it something they would have gotten used to? Or is it something that sort of like, if is it, you know, kind of like a routine, like a fire alarm nowadays? Or is it something that if it went off, it was quite extraordinary and quite scary?
It became very routine. The war started in 1939, but bombing raids didn't actually start until 1940. And at that point, whenever the air raid sirens went off, the boys would all go down to the shelters, take their bedding with them, and stay there until the all clear went, until the college was bombed in 1940. And the master was killed, as you might know. So for a year after that, it was decided that all the students would sleep in their shelters every night to be on the safe side. And so they got very used to doing that until it was decided that the threat had receded, and then they went back to just doing it when there was an alarm.
Inside the bomb shelters, what kinds of utilities would you see? Would you see bathrooms, lights? I mean, obviously, I'm assuming it was fairly basic overall, but what was kind of the experience like there?
It was pretty basic. The walls and floor were concrete. There were wooden bunk beds, I think kind of two or three high, because they're not very big, and you'd have had a whole house in there. Every boy had a blow-up lilo, like an inflatable mattress, which I'm told to begin with, the splinters on the wooden bunks used to make holes, so the air would all come out of the mattress. So if you were last in the queue, you would always get the flat one. To begin with, they only had, I think, kerosene lamps, but then after a bit, electric light was installed. But it was pretty basic. No bathrooms. I think you might be allowed to nip out and have a wee in the woods if you needed to. In fact, I do have a story from someone who was here during the war who said they all tried weeing next to one tree to see how long it would take them to kill it.
You said that the school was bombed and that headmaster was then killed. Mm-hmm. Were there any students that ever did die?
No, the master was the only casualty.
Was it directed at him?
No, there's an argument about whether it was actually directed at the school or whether it was just chosen randomly or they thought it was something else, perhaps Sandhurst, and no one really knows that. It was just that at that time the teachers don't seem to have taken the threat very seriously, so that when the sirens went off, the boys all had to go to their shelters, but the staff, quite a lot of the teaching staff, would stay having their evening meal in the common room. And the master was in his lodge with his staff, and he was just sort of popping out to see what happened when a bomb fell yards in front of him, and he was exploded.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but the master was outside on South Front, and what was he doing in his last? What happened? How did it? He just came out, checked the bomb. Did it just take? Was it just still in the process of going off, or how did that work?
From the accounts that I've read, it seems that the first bomb, I don't know how long you get between these two things, but one fell a little bit further along between chapel and the way down to the armory. And perhaps he heard that and was just heading out when the second one fell very close to the lodge.
And so he was essentially outside, just taking a stroll, trying to look at the damage.
Yeah, or just up in its popping final out to see. Yeah. Or perhaps just going down to, he would often go down to the air raid HQ in the science block just to see how they were getting on. So perhaps he was just going to do that.
Oh, yeah, of course. So on the Picton Tunnels, I don't know when they were closed, but I'm guessing it might have been a while ago. Why were they then disserviced and out of use? Why can't it be used today?
I think I need to do further research to find out exactly when they did do that. I'll try and find that out for next time.
Okay.
And then also kind of just extending, were the tunnels kind of built in a rush or so? And if so, who built them?
I imagine the service tunnels were kind of part of the building as it was built. Basement stroke tunnels. As I say, the Picton one was built for a particular reason in about 1911 by workmen, I imagine. But the boys themselves had to dig out the air raid shelters, which were then concreted by professionals.
Did that take time out of class?
Got time out to do that, or possibly time off. I think in those days you would probably have sport every afternoon and they got to dig instead of doing sport.
Okay, well, I would say that was very insightful. Thank you for coming along, Ms. Jones. It was a great pleasure to have you. And that's it for now. We hope to say more once we're in the tunnels.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So we're currently in the science department's old tunnels. There is a lot of deserted equipment out there.
It's not that flooded, Artem. It's not that flooded if you walk in there, Artem.
So basically, it's incredibly flooded. Do we know why it's flooded?
Probably because there's water going down here.
Yeah, it's just groundwater.
Just groundwater.
This doesn't look very deep. This is about, this is about ankle length.
There's another room in there, but it isn't.
Let's go through here, you'll probably get through here. Let's not go through there.
Okay, so we're looking along a corridor which is flooded to a depth of what? 5 centimetres, something like that.
What are you looking at, Will?
Okay, so in terms of stuff here, we've got a lot of boxes for a lot of stuff. It seems like there's stuff.
Sciencey things.
Yeah, science stuff. There's a lot of things like old beakers,
test tubes, things like that. There was a lot of...
There's hard hats.
There's a lot of things of butter, though. That's kind of, I mean, I might be a bit random, but there's a lot of butter down there.
I don't know, whatever that might have been useful. But...
There's lots of water.
So we can see there's one room that we can't see. There's a doorway that goes into another room. There looks like there's also just more storage stuff there. And then further on in the other room, there's another doorway. Also, don't know what I was going on for. But these actually look quite large. Do these cross across the whole... Does anyone know how big this is? Like, how...
How far back...
How far does this go?
I think under the whole building. I did pretty much.
Sort of base, and I think it's connected to another base, if that makes sense. So this was one quarter, and there's another quarter that's...
This is Norbert, the security guard who took us down.
What, two other bits of the science?
Other bits of the tunnels, aren't they? Because some tunnels are connected. I don't know if this is connected.
I don't know. I don't think this is connected to the main college.
This is like one off, yeah.
But what was the original purpose of these? Do you know?
Well, these buildings were built in the 30s, and it's an interesting question how much at that point they thought they might be having to fight a war. The ex-head of Estates who first showed me this building was ex-military, and he remarked that the entrance that we've just come in is classically set out as to be blast-proof, bomb-proof, in that the door is at right angles to this door. You know, it's not like a blast could come straight in because the doors are at right angles to one another. So maybe they were thinking that it would be possibly useful in wartime, even when they built it. And I've got a photo here of when this down here was the headquarters of the air raid precaution.
So that's that entrance there?
I guess it is.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when everyone came down, they had to wear a helmet and...
They hung their helmets up.
And they hung their helmets up and they had some boats.
So we're looking at that.
There are things that are actually relatively recent that are still down here, about as recent as 2005. There's some A-level chemistry in context practical books. But yeah, apparently it's mostly just butter. I think a couple flasks as well. And of course, as we heard earlier, we had bomb shelter-related equipment, furniture down here too.
Yeah, so on this photo, you can see, looking along the corridor, we have, as you say, the boys with their tin hats ready to go out on air raid patrol if needed. We have a teacher who's there with a telephone for communicating to other parts of the school. And you can see another teacher who's tucked up in his bunk having a nap until he's needed. And if we go outside, I've got a picture of the boys, so with their bicycles ready to go on patrol.
We're back outside, right outside the science block, particularly biology and D-Tech, I believe.
This is quite
and building. We have a bunch of boys out with bicycles. Can you tell us more?
They were the air raid precaution unit. Every area, every town in the country would have had civilians who signed up as air raid wardens. It wasn't unique to the school, but the school had its own and they used students. And so, yeah, they would be their job to, I think perhaps when an air raid had happened, they would be the first ones to go out and check what damage had done.
So we are right outside Selanger Court right now, and basically you guys will probably recall right in between the Duke Box doorway and the Charity Tuck Shop doorway, there's a massive hole with a service stairwell going downstairs, so we're about to go in there. These were service tunnels used for...
Just to access all the services, the boilers, the electricity, the water, the gas, whatever was going on down, keep the college running.
Yeah.
A long time ago, there was actually kind of a coal and an ash pit down here.
Just that's fun. So steep is good.
Really careful how you go down.
I warn you, it's quite.
So we just went down a really steep steel stairway right next to the hill. And we just took some photos because there's a really deep, a really long and dark passageway that leads back into Slinger Court from here. But yeah, I mean, this is literally what you'd imagine to see from a maintenance tunnel. You have heat pumps, you have a way to control power allocations and stuff. So right now, someone would have the power to turn off another house's power. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, if your lights go out for a minute or two, you'll know why.
Oh, you actually can as well.
Yeah, it's the water pumps.
So you can just turn off everybody's water pump in your house.
Yeah, it's
like the best way of passive aggressiveness.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we allowed down that tunnel? Yeah, that's
all right.
Yeah, feel free. Yeah.
Yeah. Will, do you want to go down?
Going down that really long tunnel that connects Slinger Court to this entrance way right outside the hill into like the place that kind of diverges into DLR pathway and whatnot. I mean, you have pipes around here, you have holes containing some old looking equipment.
It's a rounded arched brick tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the bricks are all white and somewhat battered, I'd say. But it's really short. Like, we had to keep our heads down to walk through that. But there are definitely a few holes around here. It's not all evenly forward. Apparently someone's wardrobe is down here.
This looks like an old wardrobe.
Yeah, I mean literally it is an old wardrobe. There's a massive vertical hole coming in from a place that you do not know. If you listen carefully.
It just went on the sword.
No way!
There's a lit up portion of the boiler room, and there's actually a cat down these tunnels.
Oh my god, I've got his eyes.
Yeah, there's a really narrow tunnel. Connecting the Murray, I believe, and it's the HM's cat is able to crawl down there.
Tunnel. The cat. I was like, what?
The cat was.
And everyone was like, yeah. Oh, he goes.
And how's he getting in and out?
I was just thinking, like, are you sure?
Yeah. No, the cat must have like dropped.
Did it just follow us in or something?
There was like tracks there. There was these like, weird tracks, and it was just going down the tracks.
There's a massive vertical hole coming in from a place that you do not know, and there's actually light coming in too, which is interesting to see. But that's as we approach the Slinger Court entrance.
There's some nice writing on the wall.
There's also a lot of writing. Not all of it's college appropriate, of course. That's as recent as 2024. Are there any closing remarks that anyone has about the service tunnels which just went through as we're about to exit? Seeing signs of light from Slinger Court and the V&A entrance. And yeah. How often are these tunnels still used today?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the works team who and the people who use and maintain the heating systems.
I will say that these systems. Yeah. I mean, they seem to be genuinely active. There are still parts that are lit up, even though there's no one else here apart from us. And of course, the systems do appear to be functioning and up and running, so one can assume that it's still used relatively frequently.
Also, I think it's for the showers, because the amount of showers there are in houses, just the mains wouldn't be enough to circle the water around.
Right.
So I think all these pumps just give it that extra boost to get the water around to the houses.
It's a black metal door.
Very descriptive.
Well, when they opened the door, I was literally like, oh my god, that's insane.
You just wouldn't have guessed it looked like a proper, like, bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
You just wouldn't, but I don't even know why.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking,
exactly.
London Tube
that's
Station.
London Station.
So right now, we are right next to the Cumbermere. We're walking down asphalt steps. They're all gray. Walls made out of white brick. very consistent and in relatively good condition considering the age of the tunnels themselves. But yeah, generally the tunnels here are about an arm's more than an arm's length wide, and about the same in height too. So it's very much like a square when it comes to its dimensions.
I don't really want to put my head in.
We're now getting closer to a corner in the tunnel, and there is a lot of graffiti out here. Students' names, for instance.
Oh my god.
There are imprints of students too. So for example, we have GHC Fox. H.O.D. Picton from 1997 to 2002. So yeah, there are names here that are as soon as 2016, actually.
It's 2018, look.
2022. Oh, and there's a 2018.
Some girls came down in 2018.
Yeah.
They're all, you can tell. Yeah.
these ones from the Picton and the Orange to have made a template, a spray template to make your graffiti with is quite an effort to go to, isn't it? How are they all going down here?
2019,
2022,
another group like us, and they
just had a
marker put on there. 2023,
can we write our names? If you have a pen, you're more than welcome to. Oh my god. That's Mr.
Jews.
What?
That's Mr. Jews, is it?
Where's that? Mr. Jews. Oh, here.
Yeah.
Alf Jews, who's that?
Oh, no, he was a teacher, he retired last year actually, you won't know.
So you've just walked up another group of stairs into another hatchway, sort of, and this is probably how you are meant to enter the Picton from here. It definitely got narrower, and you have the same white brick that the main tunnel's made of, rather than the more reddish brick you see in main campus.
Tiles.
Yeah, so you have white tiled brick. And you also have graffiti around here too, but now it's covered up and boarded up with planks and whatnot.
These stairs go up here and it really into the Picton,
mm-hmm.
And then you can just come over.
That's awesome.
So,
scary.
We're next to the part of the wall which leads to the end of the tunnel and then forks into those two small getaway points, we've just decided to add into a bit of the already vandalized sections of the wall by writing our names. But that was all cleared. We're going to hear more about how the Picton boys played hockey and just enjoyed themselves in the main part of the tunnels.
Okay, so as we discussed last time, this tunnel was built in 1910 when the Picton was officially turned from a house to a dormitory. Which meant that it got its meals possibly through the hatch that we've just seen, and then they'd be delivered and brought into the house from the kitchen. I did some research and found that there used to be an inter-house tug-of-war competition, and in 1932 the Picton won it, and it was rumoured that they'd been practising down here using the long length of the tunnel to practise their tug-of-war. I've also got two quotes from guys who were here in the 50s about tunnel hockey. You'll need... I can't read that in this slide.
So one quote was, this game was played with ideally three players on each side, an ancient hockey ice puck, which was kept in the Picton common room, some old hockey sticks. It was quick, rough, exhausting, with a lot of running and body checking and bouncing off the walls. It was huge fun. A few bumps and bruises were easily put right by a hot shower afterwards. Interestingly, there were hardly any real injuries due to the narrowness of the tunnel, which limited the amount of kinetic energy a body could generate. Teams could be drawn from the Picton or against other houses or dormitories. I don't believe the existence of tunnel hockey was known to the staff.
Used to play tunnel hockey along its length. That proved interesting as the ball whipped off the tarred concrete surface at high speed, deflected by the bend halfway down, which was the point at which it first became visible. It was rather like blind rackets with a much larger ball. I recall being struck on the bridge of my nose on the last day of term, breaking it and causing a massive bruise in the middle of a tightly swollen face. To make it even more interesting, we sometimes used flaming balls of newspaper instead.
used for conveying boxes of food along
like
here?
Some kind of
I'm presuming
belt.
People didn't, you know.
No,
some crew through.
Wait, so then just to confirm, when was the Pipton Tunnel shut down?
In the late 1970s, when it was closed off, possibly because they discovered asbestos down here. Right. So we should probably get out.
Great.
Fair, it does have a slightly funky smell, but as you'd expect from an old tunnel.
Oh, yeah, is this the place to pull over, or is there going to be any better?
Wait, so then just...
I was quite impressed.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a bit more.
It honestly exceeded my expectations. Yeah. It was genuinely interesting.
I was expecting they were going to be small.
Yeah, I was expecting like little tiny things that kind of went on for like a meter. And
but
just
they were
like
entirely walkable. Mm-hmm. Like entirely, yeah. entirely
the
walkable.
The second one went to.
The second one, when they opened the door, I was literally like, oh my God, that's insane.
You just wouldn't have guessed it was there. It looked like a proper like bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
You just went, but I don't even know why.
Yeah, that's
why
what I was thinking.
Yeah,
London
exactly.
Tube
that's
Station.
The London Station.
It seemed like the first one that was flooded had a bit more history to it.
Yeah.
Or maybe kind of
well,
didn't speak as much.
Yeah, and the photo of like the people.
Well, the service
like,
tunnel is literally just a service tunnel. Like, there's nothing exceptional
true.
Going on there. Whereas the other two definitely had stuff. Well, the science bunker was like a literal air raid related bunker.
It'd be quite cool if you could go further in there.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I guess, it's kind of annoying
yeah,
that
it was flooded,
lot.
So.
Yeah.
Unless we had like rubber boots.
CCFK would be scared.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was pretty deep in that first entrance.
You know, it looked
no,
like
CCF
it was just
it was ankle length.
It was ankle length.
CCF rubber boots would have done the
job. They would have been able to go through it. I mean, to be fair, that didn't look all that much exciting. I mean,
no. You get to the end and there's broken glass on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
You turn around.
I'm guessing that I mean, I don't know, because there were stairs going
up. That must
up.
Be a kitchen tunnel.
The cat. I was like, what?
The cat was
like, how's it getting and everyone was like,
yeah.
Oh, it goes
and
through
how's
there
it getting
all the
in
time.
And
I was just thinking, like, are you but sure?
No,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, the cat must have, like, dropped.
Wait, how
well,
did it get? Did
know.
It just follow us in or something?
There was, like, tracks there. There was these like, weird tracks, and it was just going down the tracks.
I wonder if there is more, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there were other tunnels that we didn't go into.
Exactly.
But I'm pretty sure we explored like 100% basically of all the tunnels we didn't go into, with the exception
like
of
that
science.
That Picton one or whatever. Where does that actually run under?
It runs under the rope.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's just so weird. You would not expect it to be that big.
It was just really weird going from that bit out there and coming out.
Also,
there.
it was very square.
That was a wrap on our Tunnels podcast. Once again, thank you so much to College Archivist Caroline Jones and also our security guard Norbert for taking us down, helping us with the show. Hope you enjoyed. See you next time.